Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello,
yama yama yama. Yum,
how lovely. Okay, I was going to say hello, but yummy, 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 yum, yum, yum. It is. Welcome to a bonus episode of Off Menu, aka The Great Benito Presents Off Menu Live.
With brackets, Ed Gamble and James Acaster.
And double brackets, special guest, Edgar Wright, double brackets, then closing off the other bracket, so sort of a triple bracket.
Yeah, a lot of brackets welcome. Involved, but really, even though The Great Benito has put himself at the head of all this, and so that his name is in big lights, very egotistical, Edgar Wright is the real draw here.
Yes, Edgar Wright's the real draw.
Amazing director. Oh. Writer, I mean, come on. Spaced, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, World's End, Scott Pilgrim, Baby Driver. He's just released, as we're recording this, the Sparks Brothers documentary about the band Sparks. And One Night in Soho is coming out soon, a wonderful horror film. He's been a busy boy.
Oh, man, he's been such a busy boy. I didn't get a chance to say to Edgar, which is very lucky, because it's probably the sort of boring shit he is every day, one of my first dates with the lady I'm going to marry was to see Scott Pilgrim. That is a film that means a huge amount to me. I love that film so much. I'd imagine he hears that quite a lot. And
do you think?
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason for him to be invested in my relationship.
I guess not. But, you know, but I don't know, maybe he'll hear this and he'll get in touch with you and be like, please, invite me to the wedding. All I care about is your relationship now.
I want to film the wedding. I want to be the videographer at the wedding.
Ah, that'd be great. That'd be a nice little wedding video, wouldn't it?
Would be, yeah.
Directed by a professional director who makes films.
Yeah. Simon Pegg's in it for some reason.
Yeah, Simon Pegg's in there.
Yeah.
Nick Frost.
Working behind the bar. Nick Frost working behind the bar.
Yeah. Ah, oh, great. That'd be awesome. And this was a live episode, of course. Royal Festival Hall, South Bank Centre. Oh, you got a lot of people in that audience, and they were all off-menu fans. They knew all the little details of off-menu, probably even better than the three of us do. And
they were menu heads, that's for sure.
They were menu heads. They also loved Edgar Wright. And who can blame them?
Who can blame them? Let's crack into it, James, because it's a really good episode. Let's
get crack-a-lackin'.
Let's get crack-a-lacking. It's the off-menu menu of Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright.
Live. Too much. So, hello. Welcome to the second ever Off Menu Live.
The Off Menu Live show, sprinkling the...
here we go. It's not normal. But honestly, thank fuck you're doing it, because I genuinely haven't thought of one. As I was walking out and everyone was cheering, I thought, this is lovely, but I've not written the intro again, so...
I've not written one.
No, so we've got sprinkling. What are we sprinkling on what?
Kettering.
Sprinkling what? What did he say?
He said Kettering. He's a moron.
Oh, I see. You can't sprinkle Kettering.
Doesn't understand what you can sprinkle.
Yeah.
Also doesn't seem to understand the podcast. Never listened to it before.
Yeah.
He's the reason I've stopped touring, if you're wondering. That and the pandemic.
But
probably actually blame the pandemic more than you, sir.
Let's not kick off on that note, James. What are we? Let's not have one of your famous meltdowns this early on. What are we sprinkling?
I quit. taking the, but sprinkling the sprinkling.
What sort of things do you sprinkle food? Wise?
Sprinkling the icing sugar of chat.
Okay, straight. I mean, it's amazing how on the nose you are as a persona, isn't it? Just straight to icing sugar, no beating around the bush. Sprinkling the... You don't sprinkle icing sugar, you snort it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't remember you criticising Kettering this much when that guy shouted that out. Accepted that immediately. I had to point out how bad that was. Sprinkling the icing sugar of chat...
Yes.
...over the dough...
Oh.
...of humour...
Yes.
Baking in the oven of live entertainment.
Oh, it's a bit like an oven.
And producing the donut of friendship.
Okay. That's very good.
Pretty good.
No, it's really good. So, never made a donut?
Huh?
You ever made a donut?
Yeah.
How do you make a donut?
Sprinkle ice and sugar on some dough and put it in the oven.
Right, OK. Yeah, I suppose so, mate, in a way. Do you want to tell everyone what the podcast... Or am I doing that tonight? We switch roles.
Oh, yeah, if we're switching roles, yeah. You do that. Rolls, that's a pun, because a donut's a roll.
Not a roll. You've been making rolls. The Off Menu Podcast is a podcast where we ask a special guest their favourite starter, main course, side, drink... and dessert in that fucking order. Got it right.
Did it in the order.
And
it takes years of training to get it in the order.
Yeah. And our special guest tonight is...
Edgar Wright!
Very exciting. Very exciting. Woo! He'll be coming on a little bit later. Before we bring Edgar out,
yeah.
I've made sure he's still in his dressing room.
Yes.
We should sort out the secret ingredient.
Yeah, we should actually.
Now, bit special. We've not decided on it yet, so we thought we'd get one of you guys to decide it.
You could help us, I think.
Whoa.
A hand went up down here.
Look, if there was a hand went up, that's fine. Otherwise, if we let people scream out, the secret ingredient's going to be Kettering, so...
Then I'll have to leave. Oh, by the way, if you don't know, the secret ingredient, just so you know, is an ingredient we don't like. And if someone says it, if the guest says it,
they get kicked out.
We kick them out the Dream Restaurant. So it is fun, but also Bear in mind, if we do one and kick him out, we all have to go home early. Now, this person in the front, well, you put your hand up, which I respect. What was your suggestion? Cornetto?
Oh, no, we're not doing cornetto. Come on.
Mean. Cruel.
Come on.
What are you trying to
do? We've got a hand up here.
That would be dessert, I guess, at least.
What do you reckon? Raisins.
Raisins. This is interesting. The other night, Sultana's was like earlier. What is people's problems?
Are you from the Fresh Grape Board or something? You're trying to...
Why don't you like raisins?
Yeah. What's your problem with raisins?
They're just not for you.
Quite a mild reason to shout something out. Raisins! They're not personally for me! I understand that everyone has different tastes. All right, raisins, we'll put it in the mix.
Let's see, person with their hand up there.
Salad cream.
Ooh. Oh, some support there for the salad cream.
I think that was him clapping his own choice there as well. Salad cream, standing ovation.
That's a showbiz secret, and I respect it. Yeah. Always start your own applause. We've all done it.
Salad cream's more solid than raisins.
I think I like salad cream, but I do appreciate why people don't like it. I think it's quite a good one to choose.
Yeah.
Unless it gets topped, but I think, you know.
Oh, hang on, we've got a hand up over here.
Pretty confident you can beat salad cream, aren't you? Look at this.
Parma violets.
Now, we've all... I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting Parma violets. We've already had those on the podcast.
We have already had Parma violets on the podcast.
Have we already had salad cream?
No.
he knows.
No!
No, you have not. I sang along to Barefoot Baby Boy. I know everything about this podcast. Yes? Anchovies.
Anchovies.
What would that person say? I don't know if I want to know. Salad cream, yeah.
Same bloke,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Bunch of absolute pig shits tonight. Yes, on the aisle.
Cabbage.
Yeah.
Ooh. That always gets suggested. Coriander.
We've had that one on, but that's a good one, mate. I think we just have to go with salad. I mean, there's a few hands up, but people are still very passionate about this, yes?
Avocado.
Avocado?
What the fuck are you talking about?
What the fuck is the matter
about?
With you?
Fucking avocado.
Jesus Christ. Right, can we kick him out?
Look around you, mate. These are the people who buy the entire load of avocados. This is everyone.
Avocado?
What the problem? Right, confident hand up here.
Coffee.
Hang on, I've got someone you've got to meet.
Oh, no. He'll be squeezing you into that cafeteria. Yeah. He's an angry man.
Do you really not like coffee?
Fuck coffee. Okay, it's a Sunday, mate. I think we've got to go with salad cream.
I think salad cream's a great choice.
Yeah.
Also,
it's a good choice.
Let's start, let's do it. Everyone of the Royal Festival Hall, this is the off-menu menu of...
Edgar Wright! Good to see you.
Thank you.
Lovely. Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Feeling hungry?
I am feeling hungry.
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame because we don't have any food for you.
It's going to make you talk about it. Oh, I need to do my proper entrance.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Obviously,
Edgar.
James needs to... transgress to the astral plane and become the genie, so you're now going to watch a fully grown man try and climb inside that lamp.
Got my lamp here.
Yeah.
Just going to climb inside it. Nice and easy.
Okay. He's inside the lamp. Everyone, we need to look at the lamp and imagine rubbing it. Imagine, we're not allowed to touch it for COVID reasons. It's been a hard time for genies. Because of fomites. Okay, we're rubbing it. It's good. Here we are. Oh, it's a genie!
Welcome, Edgar Wright, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time. Woo!
Yeah. I was not expecting Oscar-winning visual effects.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Tell your friends at the Academy. Can't wait.
There's too much CGI these days, and I think it's the practical effects are the way to go, and I think we've nailed that tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to see you in Guy Ritchie's remake of Aladdin.
Oh, man. Oh. That, you know, I wouldn't turn that down, man. When I was a kid.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I would say yes to it. I would say yes. When I was a kid, Robin Williams was my hero because of Aladdin. I was obsessed with it. And I was still a little Christian boy and went to church. And at one point, when I was a little kid, in Sunday school, we all had to write down, like, a little profile about ourselves to put on the wall of, like, all the kids at Sunday school. And one of the things you had to fill out was who your hero was. And I put Robin Williams, and all the other kids put Jesus. And I realised that was that was the right answer. I was the only one. Robin Williams, the genie, he's funny. Who was your hero growing up, Robin Williams or Jesus? Those are the two options.
It's the new Poppadoms or bread.
Robin Williams or Jesus?
Well, you know what? I'd say flat out Mork.
Yeah.
I'd say, I knew who Mork was before I knew who Robin Williams was.
Right.
So let's say Mork.
Yeah.
I would have drawn that and put that up on the Sunday school wall.
Yeah, it'd just be you. Mork. Yeah, well, Mork was cool. I didn't watch enough Mork. I just remember the episode where they were hatching an egg for ages. It was the size of a person. And then it was a person when it hatched. Oh, just so you know, by the way, there's someone in here who's gunning for you. Because we asked them what the secret ingredient should be, which is when we're going to kick him out if they say the secret ingredient. The person at the end there said Cornetto was trying to stitch you up.
Yeah.
But what specifically, what flavour of Cornetto?
Good point, he's got you.
Strawberry.
Oh, that's the good one. Yeah. No, I would go, if I had to rank the three classic flavours, now there's like 400 of them.
Yes.
But rank it would be Classico first, then strawberry, then mint last. No? Is that contentious?
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry, Eddie.
Oh, whoa,
you're going to have to leave.
Yes. This would is you... why we're here.
Would you like me to go? I do think Classico is... With people hissing then, it's like Panto.
Oh, yeah. They get proper angry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Proper angry about food stuff. So
a lot of Mint fans in tonight.
Mint would be my favourite. I'm not just playing to the crowd here. But as a kid, I was always...
I just used to go through... I didn't use to taste them. I just used to go through them. just straight in until you just get to the bottom bit.
Yeah.
That was the key. Just get to that fucking little pointy chocolate nipple. That's all I wanted.
I saw somebody on Twitter the other day complaining about the chocolate at the bottom of the Cornetto cone. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
That's the best bit.
It's also, as somebody pointed out, it's the load-bearing bit. It's there to stop the ice cream, right?
That's why I've never
there.
Thought about it.
That's why it's there.
In terms of structural engineering before.
It's true. Bearing it's
bit.
True
it
though,
is.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because other cones, you hold them and they just go immediately.
Yeah.
Any other cone you get. Oh, no! I can't bear the load.
You've got to be dead inside not to enjoy that last piece of chocolate, haven't you?
What was even their justification for slagging off the bit of chocolate at the end? Oh, here we go. Someone's kicking off. Is that someone who doesn't like the chocolate at the end?
No. Is there anybody right. in the Royal Festival Hall who doesn't like the chocolate at the bottom of the Cornetto cone? Me? Why? Why?
Me!
Why?
Happier than anyone who doesn't appreciate joy has any right to be.
Next time,
me, I hate the chocolate.
Next time you have one, will you post it to me afterwards?
Why can't you buy bags of them? You should be able
I think
to buy.
You can, yeah.
You wow. can. Right. Sorry, guys. Goodbye. I need to go.
The amount of Cornettos they had to collapse just to get the nibs off them to put them in a bag.
Feel pretty bad. Are you a foodie, Edgar? Would you consider yourself a foodie?
I am a foodie, but in thinking about this tonight, I realised that there's a lot of fancy restaurants. I've definitely been to a lot of fancy restaurants in my time, but most of those kind of go into like the general experience, mm-hmm. and I found myself racking my brains to think of any one dish that I had in some of the world's top restaurants, which was strange, because there are a couple of times I've been to, I usually, you know, usually judge the by the expense of the bill, But like, I actually found it so like tough to think of like a specific dish. So I started going back to more just things which I gravitate towards. So I definitely do have a thing where I gravitate towards the same things and sort of try and expend less mental energy on picking and just kind of things that I like. And so that's what I've gone for tonight, for the most part.
I want to dig into you saying that you judge it by the bill at the end.
Yeah.
Well, if you've gone to a really fancy restaurant and it's been an extortionate bill, you have to think, well, I guess that was really good.
I guess I'm wrong.
I guess that must have been 700 quid good.
Yeah. I thought it was disgusting, but it was the nicest meal I've ever had.
That's just me fooling myself into thinking that I haven't just wasted 700 pounds.
Yeah, sure.
That was only the one time.
I was going to say, this is a very specific amount of money you've repeated twice now.
Listen, you don't forget that bill easily, especially when you've done the really dumb thing of saying, hey, I'll get this. No, wait. Yeah.
Is there a choice from that meal on the menu tonight, or can we talk about that meal now?
No, there wasn't a
Where
choice.
Was this
Where
place?
Was the 700
pounds? It was... It was that New York restaurant...
With a really hungry...
that New York restaurant, Le Bernardin... I think that's what it's called.
Right.
Which is the kind of place that Patrick Bateman would go.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, like, really small, classy plates and
yes,
stuff like that?
Yes, really fancy.
Quite dark in there as well.
Very dark in there.
Doing murder.
Until the bill comes out and they put a spotlight on it.
I did... this is maybe too much information, but this is the time for it, isn't it? Huh? Maybe I shouldn't tell the story, but I did... Let me just say, I was bordering on having... I don't know if I want to talk about this.
Well, I guess we'll all go home and just imagine what it was forever. Yeah. But let's at the minute, we're all thinking it was a wank.
Let's be coy about it.
You're like, well, I've paid 700 quid, I'll fucking do it in the middle of the restaurant.
Yeah. And get my money's worth, excuse me.
There's your tip.
Let's just say frequent toilet trips were needed.
Yes.
And, like, because I was in the States, Imodium was needed. But here's the thing.
Right. I'm so glad you said Imodium, because for a second it sounded like you were doing a lot of coke.
It would also have the same effect.
Yeah, yeah.
And Patrick Bateman would be proud of me. I was going for the full American Psycho effect.
Yeah.
Take a lot of coke before dinner.
Yeah.
Kill a prostitute after dinner. No, the thing was is that, like, I knew going in I was ill, but it was Christmas Eve. I booked, you know, it's difficult to get a table there.
This story is bleaker with every sentence friends. I get.
Christmas so I Eve, thought... shit in your pants, and you go and spend 700 quid on a meal.
But it was, I just had that kind of, I felt like probably I just like looked kind of, you know, kind of grey and sweaty for the entire meal. But mm-hmm. It was that thing, it was like Christmas Eve, and we booked a table, and I couldn't, like... you know, kind of pull a sickie, so I suffered through it. And it was nice, but that's maybe why I don't remember it as one of being the best meals
of my
life. No,
it doesn't sound nice. It sounds bleak.
Yeah.
I mean, was it family?
No, it was just friends on Christmas Eve.
I so want to know who... Was there any celebs there? Because if it was Christmas Eve, I really want to know what celebs you're hanging out with on Christmas Eve.
It was Rian Johnson was who I was having dinner with, and his wife, Karina Longworth, another podcast... extraordinaire. Yeah. I think I tried to keep it secret that I was ill, and then it was very clear I was not well.
Yeah, back and forth.
And really struggling. Once you've done 7 trips to the toilet during the meals, obviously something is up. Or, like you said, a big coke head.
Yeah.
how many courses was the meal?
I think going to the bathroom 7 times to take coke head would have been less embarrassing than essentially having diarrhea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like the thought of you trying to style it out, though. 7 trips to the bathroom and still trying to come back. Tidings of comfort and joy, everybody. God bless us, everyone.
Were you shitting as the time crossed from Christmas Eve to Christmas Day?
It'd be more of a...
That's the question.
I don't think so. Or I would have liked to have done that on New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's the
that
point.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
Then to kind of, you know, it would have then kind of crossed 2 calendar years.
Do you want to know the worst calendar year crossing of my life?
Do it.
It was many, many years ago. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud.
Everyone's having those moments tonight. Apart from I am coming out of this squeaky clean.
As it crossed from one year to the other, and I didn't realise that this was the time, one of my friends had decided to show me Two Girls, One Cup on his phone. It's actually quite similar to your Christmas Eve.
You now have to share a story where you've been violently ill in a restaurant.
Yeah, well, I've never shit myself in a restaurant. It's fine.
I didn't actually do it.
Yeah, I shit myself in a steakhouse in New York, in LA. Good times. Still a sparkling water.
Imagine a natural waiter doing that.
A natural waiter coming over.
Shit myself in a steakhouse. Anyway, still a sparkling water.
Oh, must I? Shit myself once. What kind of water do you want?
Still, with ice.
This is what the Royal Festival Hall was built for.
Yeah.
Also, please, no lemon in the still water.
Oh, look at this. You're really winning them over.
I get a bit annoyed. And this happens a bit more in the States than it does in the UK, but it's sort of that presumption that you wanted some lemon in it.
Right.
So fish that out immediately. Mm-hmm. I don't really like that. The lemon in the water just... You know if you go to, like, a spa sometimes and they have that horrid water with, like, what seems like a ton of, like, limes and lemons and stuff.
And sometimes just, strawberries and stuff.
No. And it just looks like mulch.
Yeah.
So I can't get that out of my head.
To be fair, that's load-bearing, though.
What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's load-bearing.
It keeps the water...
Yeah.
It'll just come out the jug otherwise.
Right. Sparkling water... There's nothing worse than room temperature or warm sparkling water. It's horrific. Room temperature, still water, fine. Room temperature, sparkling water, no. In terms of I've been excited to drink sparkling waters when I've had... some periods of just not drinking for a long time. And then just the bubbles become a bit more fun.
Yeah. It's all you've got left.
That's all you've got left is like, I guess I'll have some sparkling water. The bubbles are fun. But other than that, no, sparkling water, no. Also, the worst thing as well is when you take a sip of sparkling water thinking it's still. No, that's really bad.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
Especially if it's warm. That's the worst.
How often has that happened in your life?
More often than I care for.
So hold on, is it that you're not even looking at it?
Yeah.
And that you're just going for it? Or is it like, you know, sometimes sparkling water gets a little bit flat, you can't really tell, and then you have the swig and it's like, it's just got a dead fart in it?
Just like brands with confusing labels. Like make it clear, like sort of, what the black is still, and then the other one is... silver, right, or grey?
Yeah, but that's
a good point. Look, the crisp debate rages on about what colour should be what flavours. We've never really sorted out what colour sparkling should be and what colour still should be.
Yeah.
So I think we should do it now.
Green for sparkling, I go with that.
Because it's like nature. If you imagine a babbling brook.
Because, of course, blue is up for grabs here because they're both water, right? So...
that just confuses the issue to have, like...
So we need to get rid of blue completely.
Blue's out. No?
Oh,
no.
People want to keep blue. Blue for still. Blue, well, yeah, I mean, that's the other option.
Blue for still, green for sparkling, because it's the...
Yeah.
It's the colour of a spring, right? It's
Yeah, I think
we've actually solved that a lot quicker than I thought we would.
You're saying you don't like sparkling if it's, like, room temperature. There's still water... Does it matter what cold it is?
Well, if you're in the dream restaurant, I'd love it with some ice in it. It would be lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, you dreamer.
If
if we're going wild here.
But room temperature still water's fine. You know?
And the ice cubes are made from still water or sparkling water.
Maybe that would be the way of weaning me onto sparkling water, wouldn't it?
Gradually releasing the bubbles just one at a time. You can just have one bubble at a time each time.
That's like you're trying to slowly poison me with sparkling water.
Yeah, just gradually stripping you one bubble at a time until eventually you love it and you can't tell the difference anymore.
Oh, yeah, like the Pepsi challenge.
Yeah, do the
You're probably too young to remember that. Does anybody
remember
the
Pepsi
challenge?
And I could, right now I could tell the difference between Diet Pepsi and Diet Coke if anyone wanted me to. They're very different.
Do you think, Edgar...
Diet Coke, actually...
Do you think, Edgar, if you didn't have any water for, like, a year...
Oh, yeah.
Do you think then if you had sparkling water, it would taste the same as still water?
I thought you were going to ask me if I was in the desert and somebody came in and they gave me a bottle of sparkling water.
That's a better question than my desperate appeal to an in-joke on the podcast.
You'd have to be really fussy to turn down the sparkling water at that point after 3 days in the Gobi Desert without any water.
But do you think your mouth would be so sensitive that...
The bubbles
were just like, whoa, your face would melt.
Yeah, that's the point.
James is disappointed because I interrupted his Diet Coke story, by the way.
Sorry.
So angry. He's not going to get over this.
What would be your preference, Pepsi-wise?
I'd go for Diet Pepsi. I like Diet Coke as well, but I probably prefer Diet Pepsi. But, like, for ages I didn't really have... I kind of, like, gave up caffeine entirely, which, like, I have to be careful saying that in the building because I think Edwin Coffey's not left yet, but, like, I didn't have caffeine in my diet for ages. And then after, like, 5 years, I started drinking Diet Cokes again, and I hadn't had, like, full-fat Coke in all that time. And after 5 years of not having any caffeine and not having regular Coke, Diet Coke just tasted like normal Coke.
Can I just say... Firstly, we did this the other night. James told that story maybe 100 times on the podcast.
It's made the
we did it live
times.
The other night, and it was brilliant. It was a lovely show, lovely audience. We came off stage, and James looked a bit bummed out. I was like, what's wrong? That was really funny. He went, I didn't get a chance to do my Diet Coke story. And it was great live then to hear people being bored by it live. Because you all cheered when he started doing it, and then there was a noticeable drop-off in energy.
I think you need to be able to tell the difference between bored and on tenterhooks. Edward. Yeah.
Pop-a-dums or bread? Pop-a-dums or bread, Edgar Wright? Pop-a-dums or bread?
I'm going to go bread.
Okay, right. There we go.
Oh, some booze.
A lot of happy people.
I will say, though...
Some booze, though.
I will say, though, if you'd asked me, like, 20 years ago, the answer would have been poppadoms. Hmm. But the joy of poppadoms has sort of permanently been curdled in my brain.
Oh.
Because poppadoms have too often been a part of what I would call the sad takeaway. And why me by
Eve?
The...
Christmas Eve.
So... I'm sure you guys have done this as well. Just like there's a point in the night where after a certain hour, usually midnight, the ordering a takeaway is a bad idea, and usually it's because like at a certain point in the night your takeaway options start disappearing, and so then if you're really kind of on one and it's like I've got you know like you want to get like a late night Chinese or an Indian, it's always that really depressing thing that even before you've got to the main you've ordered, being lumbered with the really dry poppadoms coming from a plastic bag as well is so just depressing. And even the little tub of mango chutney or the kind of like the takeaway version of what's it called, Rata, the yogurt?
The yogurt one.
It's just like, so I think I've had too many of those and it's permanently ruined the joy of poppadoms because I used to love that. So that's now gone out of my life. I'd say the same for, like, bad 3 a.m. prawn crackers.
Yeah.
Also, really depressing. And it's sort of permanently ruined both of them for me. So it's got to be bread all the way.
Yeah.
And if I'd be specific, I'd say, like, a couple of things that I really like is, like, I just went to Spain, actually, and, like, the bread there, they always have, like, tons and tons of aioli. Uh-huh. Really, really garlicky aioli. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the best.
Okay.
So that's what I'm specifically going for.
Great. And what type of bread is with that garlic aioli?
Spanish bread.
Spanish bread.
Spanish bread.
Yes.
Of course.
Famous Spanish bread. I realised Ross Kemp went into more detail.
Sure. You tend to remember exactly what you're eating when there's a gun to your head. Yeah. You want to be polite to your hosts.
none of my anecdotes involve MS-13.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Is that right?
Yet.
Yeah. So you want Spanish bread with loads of garlicky aioli there. Also, like, just out of interest, give me a cheer if you would say bread. Poppadoms. See, same as the other night, the poppadoms sound happier.
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely a lot of people cheering both there.
Yeah, some people just haven't had dinner today.
Yeah.
Whatever you've got, please.
The poppadoms contingent have ordered them earlier in the evening.
Yeah.
They've planned it definitely. A little bit. But I mean, carrier bag poppadoms. No one's putting them in their dream meal. Especially when they get... Yeah, and prawn crackers, when you get that kind of... If you can fold them.
Yeah.
It's just that thing, like, after 3 a.m. or something, there's only, like, two takeaways open on Grubhub, you know it's not going to be good.
And if you're on Grubhub at all, really.
Deliveroo at this point is closed.
Yeah, that's it. When you're like, you scroll down, even Deliveroo's abandoned you, and then you're like, oh, now I'm going to have to hit up Grubhub. Even the name Grubhub.
I've never heard of this before. And
does
it still exist? I think sort of, once delivery came along, Grubhub was a thing. Does Grubhub still exist?
It's been taken over by Pornhub.
But you can get anything any time of the night on that.
Exactly, yeah. It's never sad.
It's always sad, but it is 24 hours a day.
Have you never heard of Grubhub?
No, I've never heard of Grubhub before.
Oh, that sounded as good as I hoped it would when you said it.
Really?
Grubhub.
Get to your main meal now. We'll get to your starter, your dream.
Aioli, by the way, quickly, genius. I don't think anyone else has chosen aioli with the bread. The garlic, when it just rips your face off, it's so good.
People don't choose it, I think, because people don't know when to stop saying the first bit.
Aioli?
Yeah, they're not confident enough on the podcast. They're like, I'd like some aioli, please. So no matter how much they love it, they're like, oh, fuck it, I've garlic mayo.
This is when we find out how easy it is for James to write James Acaster stand-up material.
Oh, that
yeah,
aioli,
easy
man.
When you're a fucking
genius.
No one
ever knows when to stop saying it.
But it is pretty easy.
Was that a bumblebee?
I think that was a fucking bee. That's from one of my other shows. Where that bee's gone. Well, great. Now I've got that in my head. Count me out for the rest of this. I'm going to be too scared. Your dream starter. Is it from a specific place?
Yeah, I went around the houses thinking about this one because I had to think about what starters I always order. So I tend to order the same things in the same places. And there's also sometimes a thing where, like, if I'm at dinner with my girlfriend, she'll ask me to order something so she can have most of mine. And usually that's burrata, which I'm totally happy with.
Oh, yeah.
Burrata is a great starter. I never realized it rhymes before either.
Yeah, you said burrata is a great starter. Yeah. That was quite good.
There's a place in LA, Osteria Mozza, that has a mozzarella bar that's just all burratas.
Oh my god.
And it's like it's too decadent before anything even starts. Like,
I'm gonna die at that place. I've just decided that's where I'm gonna die.
It's a good place to die.
That would be if I ever fell out of a plane and God forbid. But that's where I'd like to land. I think it'd cushion you enough.
On one of the burratas.
On all of them.
If you landed on the mozzarella bar itself, you could spring back.
Yeah. Then you might be like...
All the way back up to the plane.
Yeah.
But with a mozzarella in your mouth.
Mozzarella. And just this, like, stream of, like, all the gooey stuff that comes off the... sort of look like a firework or I don't know. Quite nice, is what I'm saying. I'd like that. Prefer that. Although the worst place I'd like to land if I fell out of a plane...
Are we all going to do best and worst?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm just kidding.
Is on the pavement right next to the burrata stand. It would be the worst. I would hate it.
Not on some sea urchins or something?
No, not even on some sea urchins, because at least then you're like, oh, what chance do I have? But like, you know.
You just survive and just for a second and just see the burrata, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, see someone enjoy it.
Yeah.
Oh. That'd be bad.
So this is the cycles that I went through. The other thing is a starter that I only had once, which, like, in the, my birthday was at the start of lockdown last year, so it was pretty, there was, like, nothing open. And my girlfriend, very nicely on my birthday, cooked me, like, what I can only describe as gourmet movie snacks, which was amazing. So, because we were going to have, like, a movie marathon all weekend, and so she cooked me, like, hot dogs, she's Swedish, with skagen on top, which was amazing.
What's skagen?
Skagen's like the fish kind of... any Swedes in the audience? Help me out. that didn't help, just the squeal.
It's like fish woo. Fish woo, that's what it is. Yeah.
What? It's like How's a, that it, helping me out?
It's a fish sauce.
Okay.
It's great. I've only had that once, but I think you have mentioned this before, and so I think I'm correct in thinking this, but the one I eventually plumped for is one that... If I see it on Deliveroo, I will go to that restaurant just to get the starter. And that's the squid at Basaba. Itai.
Ah, yes! Calamari for Basaba. Yes!
I've heard some people on the internet call it crack squid. And I'd agree with that, because I had it the other night, and it's just one of those things that's like... I mean, almost the rest of the menu doesn't matter as much.
Yeah.
But that kind of inky sort of like... peppercorns
Very
and garlic on it.
Very happy.
So I'm going to say the Basaba squid.
Man, if you haven't been to Basaba and got the squid, then your life is kind of incomplete, I'm afraid. That is such a good choice. I don't think I've been... Because, really, you know, starters are notoriously the worst course, and everyone knows
this. Oh, go fuck yourself.
It sounds
and I've
like
never
you
been so
been...
happy at a guest starter choice before. This is great.
It sounds like you haven't been to the right burrata bar.
Yeah, I've not been. But
how do you feel about the squid at Basaba?
I have never had this squid
before.
So I need more description. Because I assumed when you said the squid from Basaba, which I nearly said burrata, I know what sounds you like. How's it prepared? I assumed it was deep fried, like
no,
calamari.
It's like grilled and in some kind of inky sauce with like peppercorns and garlic. It's lovely.
It's magic. But it still has a crunch to it as if it has been fried, like it's been air fried or something. But it's I don't know how they do it, Ed. It's impossible. The flavour in it has this indescribable...
I'll be honest with you, Edgar. I've not stopped thinking about you saying you nearly picked hot dogs with fish sauce.
Yes. I could switch back to that one.
I need to know more about this because, no offence, it sounds disgusting.
Where's that Swede? Skagen on hot dogs is good, right? What? Jesus Christ.
Yep.
I guess you had to be there. It was delicious.
Yeah. I mean...
Maybe it was tastier because it was my birthday. I don't know.
It's your birthday. You're looking forward to your movie marathon. What films did you watch on your birthday movie marathon?
I think it was a very unusual double bill of 2001 A Space Odyssey and Jackie Chan's Police Story.
Nice.
Could almost be a sequel to 2001. Yeah. That's what I've always thought.
2001 Jackie Chan's Police Story.
Yeah. Well, the ending is so ambiguous of 2001. You might as well have any film after it and go, yeah, that's what happened at the end.
The baby, the star child goes down to Earth and becomes a police officer in Hong Kong.
Yes. I'll be up for that.
Cue up the second film.
Yeah. You were eating your fishy hot dogs.
What is the... Okay, we don't normally ask this question. It's completely out of the blue here. What is the best food film?
Oh, great.
Ooh.
Ed, I'll say,
well,
before we carry on. Great question.
A popular answer.
That was very good.
Well, there's two that spring to mind, but one of which I haven't seen recently, Tampopo is a good one. Mm. And then another one that's really good, will make you very hungry, is Stanley Tucci's Big Night. Yeah? That's a great food film. It's impossible not to watch that and not be absolutely starving at the end of it.
I have not seen it. What are they eating in that?
Italian food?
I've heard of it.
What's your favourite food movie?
Well,
Jaws?
I think I've said this before on the podcast. Spirited Away is an amazing food film. And I've always watched that going, oh, look at that incredible food. That's incredible. And ignoring the fact that they're eating so much of it, they turn into pigs, which has always been my issue. It's always about the quality of the food and not the quantity being too much. Mm. But that's a phenomenon. Those big dumplings, they're like all wobbly and you can see how much soup's in them. I'm just like,
yeah.
James, what's yours?
There's two. I think I've probably mentioned both of them on the podcast before. One is in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, when he gets served all the ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
And he's on the bed and they say, another scoop, sir? He's like, one scoop or two? He's like, make it three. I'm not driving. One of the best. Absolutely live my life by it still.
Yeah. Yeah, for many reasons.
Yeah. Was never driving again.
Yeah.
Was he ordering the rum raisin? Was there alcohol? There's not alcohol in the ice cream.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think it was even rum raisin. It was just that Macaulay Culkin's a genius and he can sell that shit. Worked. Ice cream is the booze for kids, like the kids' version of booze. So he led that line. But the other bit, obviously, is Bangarang in Hook. Is when they have the food fight in Hook. Always makes me, but not.
It's not nice food.
No. Not the bit when you can see the food or when they're fighting. The bit when they are miming it, when they're just doing. When that kid is like. Doing all that, I was like, oh, I fucking want that food so much. Robin Williams, hero, is looking at the kids and being like. And I was like, I feel that.
Yeah.
Absolutely get what you're feeling. Like, the kid, I think he's called Fats. That's not me being an asshole. That's the kid's name. Is doing this.
Yeah.
And looking up at him, and Robin Williams is like, oh, God, I want that food so much. And that, I think, is the best, better than any physical food I've ever seen in a film.
The
Bangarang food is delicious.
At Sunday school, did you mistakenly think that was the Last Supper?
Yeah. It's like, and then Jesus said, Bangarang. I'd love it if Jesus did Bangarang at the Last Supper. Listen, guys, I'm going to level with you. I'm not supposed to tell you, but I'm going to fucking crucified soon. Who wants to do a Bangarang? Because it would cheer me up. I would like to do a Bangarang if you're all up for it.
Yeah.
So the calamari from Basaba.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Why don't they just call it crack squid?
They should call it crack squid. It is so addictive. My sister came to visiting me in London once, and I had planned we did a food day where we basically did a food pub crawl where we did a course in each place and just all day had like a tasting menu across London. And one of them was the Basaba squid, and I was so excited to go. And I mean, it was weird going in there and just going, just the Basaba squid, please. And it's like a little, and they're like, anything else? No. After this, we're going to Shaq Fu Yu. So you're like, okay. But yeah, I really am up for that choice. So it's a very exciting start.
I can't wait to try it. You've influenced me to try it.
I can't believe you've not tried it.
Sorry, man.
I thought I knew you.
Yeah.
If we don't get free Basaba from now on, something's gone terribly wrong.
Yeah, it has actually. Ed doesn't deserve it.
I'll be the only one putting it on Instagram, though. So.
Yeah. I think I'll definitely get free one. I don't know if they'll want you in if you're going to and from the bathroom constantly. you can have it to take away, Edgar. Yeah.
Just the 6 trips tonight.
Yeah. Oh, I'll come in then. Main course for Dream Main.
Well, this is another one I went around the houses on because I tend to sort of order the same things around the world and stuff, like traveling and things. Or I'm just between the UK and the States. So, you know, like special, you know, like things like steak and amazing fish, that's great. And I find out myself, I tend to kind of gravitate towards, if you're in like a posh restaurant and they have some kind of like comfort food on the menu, and you would think, that's going to be good. And so I'm a sucker for that. Whenever I see comfort food on like a fancy, in a fancy restaurant, if it's like shepherd's pie somewhere or another, this is the one I was almost going to pick. I'm like a real sucker for spaghetti and meatballs. Like, just because, like, I don't know, it just makes me sort of like, I feel like it, I always feel, I only order spaghetti and meatballs when I feel like I really earned it. And then it feels like that thing, if it's been a good day And it's like sort of, you know, like sort of, or like usually it's like a celebration meal and it's that thing because it seems like the most unambitious thing on the menu.
Yeah.
Spaghetti and meatballs. But it's like, you know what? Spaghetti and meatballs with a lot of cheese on top and a glass of something, that sounds amazing. But I didn't go for that. I want to like...
I think most of the spaghetti and meatballs that I've seen, and I've seen plenty.
If you had to put a number on it.
Huh?
If you had to put a number on it.
Good point.
And I want the number of the individual plates, and then I want the number of the meatballs.
Yes.
And then the strands of spaghetti.
Fair enough. I think in my 36 years on this planet, I have probably seen. Now. I've probably seen 102 plates of spaghetti and meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say. I've seen probably 510 meatballs and... ...5,000 strands of spaghetti.
Yeah.
I think. Thank on you. The nose, 5,000.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But I would say a lot of the plates of spaghetti and meatballs I saw for the first... maybe 10 years of my life were cartoons.
Yes.
Yes.
Lady and the Tramp. It looks fun.
Yeah. Just really big in the world of cartoons, spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's so eating them all the time. Way more than they do in, like, day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Spaghetti and meatballs is on the menu a lot
and
in
that's
cartoons.
Why that's why I always feel slightly let down by spaghetti and meatballs when I have them, because no one in real life can twizzle spaghetti like you can in a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, oh, when they go like, and they got the whole lump, and it's like, and then they suck it, and go, the last bit of spaghetti goes straight in.
Yeah. Whew. Do that again.
You just have to practice.
Yep. Very good.
I know there's some terrible plates of spaghetti and meatballs out there.
Yeah.
There's some particular ones. There's two places in the state, in LA actually, that I can't not have it when I'm there.
Right.
There's like, have you ever been to that restaurant, Little Dom's? Have you been there?
I've not been to Little Dom's, no.
I know why I asked James and not Ed.
No, I've never been to Little Dom's.
James?
I mean, obviously, if I saw Little Dom's, I'd go there because it sounds hilarious. But no, I've not been to Little Dom's. Where's Little Dom, please?
I've never met Little Dom himself.
No, never met him. Oh, love to know what Little Dom's like. Let's get Little Dom on the podcast in the future. You can come but back for it.
That also isn't my pick. That was my B choice.
Yeah.
And it was like the spaghetti and meatballs at the Chateau Marmont Hotel or like Little Dom's, both of which I can't not have it. And it's like, it always feels like sort of such a beautiful achievement to have nice spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah.
But something happened to me like a couple of months ago where, to go back to the comfort food thing, I was in Cornwall for like a week trying to sort of write on my own, yes. And
she saw you there?
I think what I hadn't accounted for, because I've probably been in London too much and probably spoiled during the pandemic by Deliveroo and other like takeaway apps. I didn't realise in Cornwall when I got there that the options would go down to two, both of which were like 75 minutes away. And so I didn't eat like a lot of and most of the, because it was just coming out of the pandemic, I was staying in a place called St. Agnes. Anybody know St. Agnes of Cornwall? So my eating that week had sort of gone down to very basic, because I'm not an amazing cook, and I sort of and most of the places kind of closed early, and they were like, you know, and the takeaway options were not great, and I'd sort of already burned through the Chinese and the Indian ones that were on offer. And so it was my last night in St. Agnes in Cornwall in this little house. And then I noticed that the local fish and chip shop was open. And I thought, I'll just get fish and chips. And maybe it was because I had sort of suffered through a week of like not great food. The fish and chips were orgasmic. And I just kind of had like my little ratatouille moment of just going back to sort of like... And it was also this thing, it kind of cracked the sad takeaway thing, because it was so amazing. Even the fact that I was sitting there in a house in Cornwall eating it on my own with the little Heinz sachets, it was just beautiful. So I give a shout out to, I remember the name of the fish shop, because it was called Fish and Chips, like nuclear fission.
Fish and Chips.
Fish and Chips?
Fish and Chips.
Why was it called that?
I don't know.
It was near
I guess
a nuclear power plant.
I guess it could be.
I'd have asked why before I ate it, personally. I'd have said, why have you named it fish and chips, like nuclear fission? I wouldn't have gone, thank you. Straight in the mouth, see what happens. Could have hulked out.
I think they really were great. I don't think it was just the kind of the week of like my bad cooking that I'd suffered through, but it was just a beautiful moment. And it was a bit of solo, non-sad takeaway dining that I really enjoyed. So I'd like to give a shout out to that.
So is that a shout out or your actual choice?
That's going to be my choice.
The choice, fish and chips.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
Fish and chips. Great choice.
Nice choice.
The £700 meal at St Bernardine is permanently cursed. So fish and chips from fish and chips in St Agnes, Cornwall it is.
Yeah, and this is like, so far, this is a very seafoody menu.
Yes, it's true.
You know, we've got the squid and now we're on to fish and chips.
Let's dig down into this fish and chips.
Yes.
What sort of fish?
It was fried haddock.
Lovely.
And there was a lot of salt and vinegar. Mm-hmm. And he gave me a sachet of ketchup and a sachet of mayonnaise. And I asked if I could have two more, and he said, that's 40 pence. And I was happy to pay it.
Imagine if you haven't. I spend 700 quid on nothing.
Okay. How much salt and how much vinegar? So let's mime it out now. So I'm the man.
Oh, you be the chippy and I'll say stop.
I'm the man, right? Okay.
You're the man, okay. Right, someone film this and make a gif of that.
So that was, I'd say maybe eight shakes.
Okay.
Eight shakes. Feels like a good amount.
Eight shakes.
The vinegar's like a free pouring vinegar, right?
Okay, go vinegar.
Holy Christ. Rest in peace.
I forgot to say stop. It wasn't that much.
That's 40 pence, please. That is how much vinegar my girlfriend has on stuff. We'll go to like we used to live near an amazing kebab shop called Kebab Kid in Southwest London. And when she'd go in, they'd be like, oh, here comes the vinegar lady. They'd be doing that to get the vinegar in, and she'd be like, bit more, bit more, bit more, like with a queue forming around the block. Just mad. You can't do
it.
Soaking wet by the end.
Yes.
Big potato soup.
I back that up. I like it. I mean, mate, I like a soup, but like, I definitely like loads of vinegar. And when I was a kid, we'd all go at lunchtime to the fish and chip shop, loads of salt and vinegar, and we wanted so much vinegar, and then we would put our heads directly in the bag and huff it.
Yeah, I got into poppers when I was about 13. So it's a similar sort of story.
That guy who shouted Ketman knows what I'm on about. Yeah.
Ketman
huffing a bag of fish and chips. You always had a kebab cod?
I think it was because...
Oh, yeah, all right. Cod!
I think I was like a sucker like for the most expensive item on the menu, because when you see cod and then it's like haddock is 20p more, you go, ooh.
Yeah.
I want to try the haddock. That seems like the fancy option.
It's a good choice, haddock. I mean, you know, I speak to you as a battered sausage boy for life. Always battered sausage. And in some of my darky years, a battered sausage and a saveloy. Just to see it naked, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. Take the clothes.
Must be weird for them in the bag together.
Come on.
You know we're going to someone's house. You don't want to put anything on. How uncivilized. It is easy to write my material. That is how I do it. Workshop that. Haddock, I've got traumatic memories of because I worked in a pub where we had haddocks, and they were in this like water that would kind of like, even though the haddocks were like, no, the haddocks were just floating around in there, so the water stank, and it was a prank to put people's belongings in the haddock water.
Oh no!
When they didn't know and stuff like that. But the way to do it, if it was like their clothing or something, it would get wrapped in cling film first, so it doesn't get wet. But you put it in there and the the stink of the haddock will get in there. And so people did started doing that. But one day, someone was like, I'm going to get Acaster. And they went up, they got my shoes, cling filmed my shoes, put them in there. But literally, they put them in there. They walked out the fridge. I walked in the fridge thinking I'm suspecting something. Opened it, there were my shoes, got them out before they stank. Then put his shoes in there. And then all shift, he was going, oh, anyone fancy some haddock after this? And all this. And I was like, no, not really. Oh, you will, mate. And all this. I'm loving it. And at the end, we went up to the change rooms. I put my shoes on. And he was like, oh, James, have you... I was like, I'm pretty good. And he was like... I was like, oh, yeah, they're my shoes. Where are your shoes? It's just the horror on his face. You prick. I'm not a prick, am I? Clearly not a prick. I'm you. But yeah, but on my last day at the thing, they dumped a bucket of the haddock water over my car.
No.
Yeah, and it got into the air vents.
Is that why you crashed so much?
Yeah, I had to crash it. Had to crash it to get a new one.
Have you ever been able to enjoy haddock since?
No, not really. I haven't. I honestly haven't really. I wouldn't. I'd always order cod in a fish and chip shop still. But maybe that's just because I think it's the OG. It's the OG fish. Right?
It's the OG fish.
Cod is the OG fish.
It was famously the first fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The original fish.
I think cod's the original fish. Is that the original fish in your...
That's why it's so close to the word God.
Yes.
Because when God was like, I'm going to make these things, pop them in that, and then they started to slither away, it was like, oh, I've got to name them cod!
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Dream side.
There's a lot of ones that are on constant rotation, including Brussels sprouts, which which I find amazing that Brussels sprouts has gone from being everybody's least favourite side, or one of the most unpopular ones, to the hipster side, which is an amazing transformation. In time.
So I don't think that's hit here properly yet.
In the States, especially, it's like Brussels sprouts everywhere. There's that amazing Portlandia sketch about the how Brussels sprouts got hipstified.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen that. It's an entire episode, in fact.
I've seen that. It's great. I fucking love it, but it's just not hit here yet. Love Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're still farts here.
I liked them before, even when they were like boiled and like really tasteless. I still liked them, but then they got all cool in the States.
Oh, so you liked Brussels sprouts when they weren't cool?
I like, yeah. I like their first album.
Yeah. You've got all their old stuff on vinyl, right?
Yeah.
Aren't you
but now, like, you
you're
know,
making, aren't you making a documentary about Brussels sprouts? About,
yeah, the Sprout Brothers.
The Sprout Brothers. Yeah.
I would love that.
That pause there was the three of us trying to think of other riffs off of that subject.
Just so
all of us coming to a dead end and going, up. Oh, well, that's that.
These
there's
are the
no...
bits we normally... Our podcast records are normally 4.5 hours long and 3 hours is absolute silence.
It's us going, I've got something, wait, I've got something.
Sprout Brothers.
Sprout Brothers. I mean, there's not many, you know, parallels we can draw between the band Sparks and Brussels Sprouts, to be fair to us. We did quite well to get it as far as we did.
One of the brothers is called Russell. That's rhymes with Brussels.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Ready? Christ.
We're getting somewhere.
We should quit. We should quit if we couldn't come up with that.
Oh, that is genuinely depressing that we didn't.
Jesus. Well.
So are you picking Brussels sprouts? Or?
No. This is another one where I kind of go back to comfort food thing. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to mention Little Dom's again, which you have definitely not been to.
Not been to Little Dom's, but I love it. I'm glad we're back there. To be honest, I felt like we moved away from it a bit too quickly last night. We mentioned Little Dom's. We were all excited and intrigued as to what Little Dom's was. And then we moved on from it. And we were all like, want to hear more about Little
Dom's.
Well,
they have a side there on the menu. It's called Grilled Summer Corn, which, you know, sounds like it's going to be like corn on the cob, like nice and charred and everything. Mm. But it is literally like a big plate of sweet corn with like garlic and butter and cheese. And I will like shovel that down my gob without anybody else touching it, an entire plate of sweet corn. And I think that's something like just as a kid, and apologies, I think some people in the room might be with me on this, but did anybody eat sweet corn straight from the tin when they were young? Okay.
What,
I'm with you guys.
Whoa, I'm going to say way more people than I anticipated. Yeah. I thought you're going to get five people or something going, oh, yeah, I did that. All of them guzzling sweet corn from the tin. Still two. Proud. He's there doing it now. Yeah. Filling his mask with it and eating it. With it.
I have to reverse engineer something back to my main, actually. When I bought the haddock and chips from Fish and Chips in St. Agnes, Cornwall, I became very confident of like what I had was like, this is going to be good. I have a good feeling about these fish and chips. And I went over the road to the spa that was still open, and I bought a can of Green Giant.
Oh, wow.
And I went home, and I put some butter on it, I stirred it up, and it was delightful.
So you did it straight from the tin, warmed it up?
I did warm it up, yeah.
So, yeah. Did you call it Little Edgar's Sweet Little Corn Edgar's, when you did it?
A little what?
Little Edgar's. That's your name, Edgar. Little Edgar.
I think that was just one of the words that got lost in the fold back here. I was like, what are you saying? Yeah.
What is this? Italian name?
I famously cannot hear my own name.
Yeah. That's an idea for a film. Write that down. Yeah. Somebody can't hear their own name.
Imagine the hijinks they'd get up to. Not hearing your own name.
Oh. Walking around, people are trying to warn them of stuff.
Yeah.
They can't hear it.
It's a Quiet Place Part 3. The only way to defeat the aliens is that the only word they can't hear is Edgar. So if you just, if you say Edgar over and over and over again, you can survive.
I thought you were going to say the only word they can't hear is their own name. So you have to learn their individual names.
Yeah.
Stephen.
To go back to the sweet corn, though, I think as I just said, like, sort of, sweet corn has always been...
This is a wonderful character trait from you, Edgar, that I was not expecting.
To go back
every
to the
sort
sweet...
of you'd be like, but if we could get back to the sweet corn...
Never mind that I just did an absolutely spot-on impression of the monsters from A Quiet Place. Anyway, I like sweet corn from...
I've just noticed the little time, Dom. But we really need to get back to this sweet corn.
I like Little Dom's.
I guess I've never been to a restaurant where the side is just a pile of sweet corn.
Yeah. And how big is this plate? You said you could have the whole plate for yourself.
And the sad thing is I can eat all of it.
Yeah, well, that's not sad. That sounds lovely.
I mean, I'm presuming at the dream restaurant that calorie intake is not an issue.
If you want it to be not an issue, some people might like it. Some people say, double the calories, please. I love being buzzed on all the calories. But if you want no calorie intake, but the same great taste and experience, we can do that for you.
I listened to Joe Wicks one, and I was impressed by the amount of like calorific intake. But then I thought he works out for 23 hours a day, yeah, and he can do that. Yeah. Unlike me, he can eat whatever he wants.
Yeah, he's running from restaurant to restaurant on his menu. It's okay. He's doing a lap of London, eating it all. He's all right. You're going to Little Dom's in a taxi, wolfing the sweet corn. Yeah. And getting Grubhub to send you some fish and chips from Cornwall.
Little Dom chasing you out of the restaurant, telling you can't take the plate, but you can't hear him because he's shouting your name.
Yeah.
Joe Wicks would eat individual pieces of corn in between burpees.
Yeah, yeah.
Edgar, have you ever had, because this is a recent discovery for me and James, corn ribs?
Oh, yeah, I have.
We've had some from a place called Fallow, where you, like, chop them.
Yeah.
And then it's basically deep frying bits of sweet corn, and then they've got this amazing kombu seasoning, and you just eat them like a rib. But I had them in Oaxaca the other night as well. It's the new big thing, corn ribs.
Speaking really of cartoons, great. With corn on the cob, do yeah. you eat them left to right like it's a typewriter or something? Do you make the noise?
Oh, I'm trying to work it out.
Do you
What's
do them
my
left
style?
To right?
What is my style? Because that's one style, right? But then I think I do it
yeah,
in sections.
I do that.
Round, fully round like that, yeah.
Yeah, I do sections.
I mean, like spaghetti and meatballs, I think any food you want to pretend you're in a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Yeah.
I would go left to right and finish a line
yeah.
like it's Tetris.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then roll it around and start again.
Yeah, yeah. Cartoons are always like that. I guess it would be weird. I mean, imagine being an animator and they said, yeah, you know, hand in the, you've got to animate the character eating the corn on the cob today. And you turned it in and you did it, then rotated it. And they were like, oh. Right, Michael, I'm going to have to see you in my office. Yeah.
You've changed the game.
What does that look like to you? Let's go, the mouse eating the corn on the cob. Think any kids want to watch that? Think that's going to make anyone happy? Throw the corn on the cob on the table. Michael, eat that now. Eat that for me. I want to film you on my phone and you tell me how nice it looks.
Michael desperately trying to get them to delete the email he's just sent of the spaghetti and meatballs scene.
Yeah.
Where the spaghetti doesn't do this at the end.
Yeah. Michael, you know, though, like, does this ring any bells? Because apparently you don't know what the fuck that is.
You know, though, with the old Disney cartoons and stuff, and I presume other cartoons, but Disney cartoons like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, they filmed like actors or models or dancers doing the actions, and then they would animate from that. Do you think that when they were getting some people to act out Lady and the Tramp, that they just happened to get on 35mm film the spaghetti twirling into somebody's mouth
yeah.
one time, and the cameraman says, did you fucking see that? We have that footage forever.
That's now the standard.
Especially if it was two dogs. That's impressive.
Yeah.
People don't know this, but Lady and the Tramp was meant to be about two people.
Yeah.
And they had all the scene ready with the meatballs, and then two dogs just fucking legged it in, did that, and they're like, well, I guess we're changing the whole script.
Have you ever done a Lady and the Tramp spaghetti in real life? Like a same bit of spaghetti towards someone?
No, but I am weird, absolutely mate. Hoping that you have.
It's weird.
You've done it. It blows my mind time and time again how I'm painted to be the weird one all the time. Oh, he's so
I
weird.
Question.
Doing Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, there'll be questions.
You mean to tell me you sat down with a plate of spaghetti and meatballs?
Yeah.
And you put one end of the spaghetti in your mouth.
Yeah.
And the other end in a dog's mouth.
Yeah.
Guess the question is, Ed, were you the lady or the tramp in this situation?
I'm a little bit of both, you know me. Okay.
When did you do this?
It's the eye contact that's the hardest thing.
Lady in the streets, tramp in the sheets.
How far into your relationship was it, Ed?
Early.
Early.
Was it during a speed date?
Yeah, I take spaghetti with me to speed dating nights.
To each table.
Right. Hit the clock. We got to try something right now.
No. Next one.
The spaghetti's cooling down. We've got to be quick.
I think it would be a good speed dating night to only try and recreate that scene from Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah.
Or, good idea for a dating night, everyone, some people are on one side, other people on the other side. There's long pieces of spaghetti that all cross over. You all put them in your mouth and you just start sucking and see... See who you end up with.
See who you end up with, yeah, it's nice.
It's like a key ring party.
It's like a key party, yeah, except with spaghetti. Yeah.
Although I would like to, like, you know...
What do you do with the meatballs?
The meatballs are all just rolling around on the floor. It's horrible.
Did you roll a meatball towards her with your nose when you did it?
Should have done that. If you're familiar with Lady and the Tramp, I think you know what's coming next. Here is this fat chef that I've hired with an accordion.
So that's a lovely side, that's all the sweet corn. Your dream drink.
I think I gravitate towards a lot of things. I mean, usually red wine is usually the option, but I'm not like a wine connoisseur. I usually go for something that's fun to say.
Yes.
Pinot Noir is fun to say. Mm-hmm. Merlot, not so fun to say.
Mm-hmm.
Chateau Neuf de Pape, very fun to say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's even in a Beastie Boys lyric.
Yeah.
With a bottle of Chateau Neuf de Pape, I'm fine like wine when I go to rap.
Yes.
There's not many other wines you could have used there, to be fair.
Is that why you go to Little Dom's? Fun to say?
What, for some Chateau Neuf de Pape?
Just go to Little Dom's because it's fun to say. That's what I would do.
Little Dom's is fun to say.
I'd say I'm going to Little Dom's. I wouldn't care what they're ordering. What they're ordering? They don't order, do they?
No. That's... I can't believe you've not got your head around this yet.
That's my theory. That's my theory with wine, though. Order something fun to say. That's it.
I'm beginning to see why you ended up with a £700 bill.
So fun to say.
And the funnest one to say is always at the bottom of the list.
But what I'm going to go for my drink, though, and I'm going to do an A and B thing, which is going to be the main drink and then maybe the end of night drink.
Okay.
Main drink would be a gin martini. With a twist of lemon,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Which I think is like a really highly concentrated, sophisticated way to get really drunk real quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've come to enjoy a gin martini.
It's the perfect drink.
They're great.
Let's not fuck around with that. Just straight down the hatch. Two and you're done.
Yes.
Bam, bam. I love it.
We went for, where is it that's meant to be the best gin martini? That guy said.
Duke's in London.
Dukes.
The hotel bar is Duke's. Yeah, apparently it's amazing. We didn't go.
I wanted to go and Ed wouldn't let me.
Well, we'd been drinking wine all afternoon. We were invited somewhere to drink wine. And the man said, who invited us, he said, well, you should go to Duke's for a martini one day. And James said, we should go after this. And the man went, no, you should not.
And then we went to a pub round the corner and we drank Guinness for the afternoon.
Yes.
And then I still wanted to go to the gin place. I was told we couldn't go. So you're going for a gin martini with a twist of lemon, but then there's another drink later on. Do you want to do that drink after your dessert or do you want to shout it out now?
Well, I'll shout it out now because I don't really know anybody that likes this drink, but I'm sure somebody in here will. Because I kind of think it seems like it's probably a granny drink, but like... My favourite late-night drink is an amaretto on ice. Oh, okay. Woo-hoo. More than I would have thought. It's basically like liquid marzipan.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen anybody else drink it, so I feel very at home now that there was a cheer for amaretto on ice.
I never order it. Would you ever order it in a bar?
Oh, yeah.
You would. Like...
At the end of the night, though. Mm, it feels like a sort of a good kind of closer.
When you're off home for your 3 a.m. curry.
Just before finishing my meal and going home to fire up Grubhub and find the saddest Chinese meal I possibly can with the driest prawn crackers in a plastic bag.
I like an amaretto sour.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice cocktail. Got, you know, first of all, I was a whiskey sour guy and then got into the amaretto sours big time. So, but I've never gone like just... pure amaretto, which now I kind of think I will.
Oh, I was reading up about it before. I thought I'd do some amaretto research, and there's almond is in it, but also the two things you can extract from almonds is like the amaretto liqueur, but also cyanide. I didn't know about that.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't know that cyanide came from almonds. But that would be a good way to, you know, poison someone.
I think, yeah. I mean, it would take a fucking long time, I reckon. It would be slower than doing it with one bubble of sparkling water at a time. Because I once went through a real Brazil nut phase. And I ate...
I can vouch for this. It was a big thing.
I ate half a kilo of Brazil nuts on a bus back from Oxford. And then I Googled Brazil nuts after I finished the bag, and it said they had a lot of selenium in them, and selenium can kill you. So I did a lot of panicked research, and I think you'd have to eat about maybe 1,000 kilos.
And how many kilos had you done on the bus trip?
Well, I cracked into my second half-kilo bag.
Because you were getting the bus, Ed, before you got on the bus, when someone offered you the almonds, did you say, make it a whole bag? I'm not driving. Did you say that? Sorry, it was Brazil nuts.
Yeah, it was. Oh.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, are you right?
Oh, it's been... Lockdown's really taking its toll. I'm rusty. Your dessert. Now, this is...
Now, Edgar, what I would say to you is that, obviously, the amaretto, quite a sweet drink.
Yes.
So...
Oh, you piece of shit.
You don't feel, Edgar... Like, you obviously then, oh, bit sweet. You might need something to take the edge off the sweetness, maybe something a little bit more savoury for the final course of the meal.
Well...
Yeah. Well, maybe something nice and savoury, like, maybe the pavement in Trafalgar Square, where I would throw you.
Oh, no, I better choose. Not land next to the burrata bar. Yeah. Also, can we... Sorry, Edgar, before you give your cheese board choice.
What the fuck? No one's cheese.
We got a text saying that from someone went, bit of intel about the queue, there's a lady with a cheese board on her head. Is there a lady here with a cheese board on her head?
What she gonna look like? Where's the...
Where is she? I don't know what I'm expecting from the end of this. There is genuinely... Can we put the house lights up so I can see the lady's cheese board?
She's under there. I can't describe how she looks to you.
She has come with a cheese board hat.
She has made a cheese board. I'm sorry, everyone up there.
I love you. Get me a plate of spaghetti. There's something I want to try with you.
Right.
And then we can grate your head all over. I don't know what I'm saying.
Unacceptable. Disgusting thing to say to a fan.
Which bit?
Get some spaghetti, there's something I want to try with you. And then saying you're going to grate her head or something. Maybe hosting this podcast solo because you've been cancelled after this.
God, that would be the way I get cancelled, isn't it? Be a cheese creep.
Yep, be a little cheese perv. Also, obviously, before we move on, I don't know. There she is. Fuck you.
Sorry, Edgar.
I have a controversial suggestion to settle this, because I would say, and also, if this is the dream meal, and also, like, calories are not a problem, and money is no option, I would say that dessert and cheese are two different courses. Am I right?
Yep, absolutely.
Because we haven't even got into petit fours and all of that shit as well.
No, but I think, you know, sometimes you don't want anything sweet. You just... the more sophisticated way to round up... Go fuck yourselves. You can all go fuck yourselves. It's lovely for a type 1 diabetic to meet so many future type 2s.
Okay. Wait.
Sorry.
See you in the Thames, you fucking pricks.
I like.
He gets a bit testy when he's near the scene of the crime.
I like to be a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And I'm going to break the format and I'm going to say both. So, wait. So, But the cheese board comes second. The dessert comes first. And yes. I was going to say...
Ah, excellent. Sorry, way to close the meal, Edgar. Thank you very much. Close on cheese. The headliner.
That I appreciate... I'll accept that. Dessert is dessert, and the cheese board is a little after thing. It fine. I've never said... that I'm not okay with that. I've always stated... There are multiple episodes where I've said that's fine.
The dessert I was going to go for... I'm kind of a sucker for anything chocolatey, but let's say... A chocolate nemesis cake, which is pretty amazing. If you've ever had the one at the... There's a few that... the River Cafe does chocolate nemesis cake, which is... There you go. And it's like...
He works there.
He's clapping himself. Do you...
Like he's coming off at his own testimonial match.
I work there.
Do you make the chocolate nemesis cake?
I don't, but I am a chef, but I'm not a pastry chef.
If you don't make the chocolate...
Pretty impressive. Sorry, I take my applause back, you fucking asshole. Thought you made the chocolate nemesis cake. That's awesome. It's pretty exciting. But did you hook Edgar up with some nemesis cake? No, that was not the answer to the question I asked.
Did you say that the nemesis cake has turned you insane?
Maybe. I'm crazy.
We went to, for my dad's 60th birthday, we went to the River Cafe. And a man who was at my dad's 60th birthday, it's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life. He went back to the kitchen to speak to one of the chefs. And he came back and he was holding an artichoke. And he went, guys... The first artichoke of the season. And it was the first time my sister's boyfriend had ever been to, like, a Gamble family event. And he was like, what the fuck is up with your family? And I think he was holding it up expecting applause, just like, the first artichoke of the season. We're like, sit down, Chris.
You and your fiancé are there slurping spaghetti between the two of you. Not sure about your family. A bit weird.
I would say the other thing, because I was checking it with my girlfriend about the chocolate nemesis cake, and I said, oh, and it comes with ice cream, right? She goes, no, it comes with creme fraiche. She said, you ordered the ice cream as well.
Oh, right. I never had chocolate nemesis cake.
It's good. It's just like a gooey, like, you know, like a fondant cake.
It's really good.
Like
it's
a chocolate lava cake?
Sort of, yeah. It's a fancy... Yeah. I don't know who the nemesis is. It's like a big baddie.
Edgar, when you said chocolate nemesis cake, I saw James going, I know exactly what was happening in his head. He thought it was a cake you could only get at Alton Towers.
Yeah. That is what I thought. Yeah. I'm not even going to pretend it wasn't.
You thought it was a cake you could...
I thought it was associated with the ride at Alton Towers.
You thought it was a cake that you could only eat on the Nemesis ride.
Not necessarily only eat there, but like I thought it would be based on there. Like I immediately thought the design would be quite complex of the cake.
You have to queue for 8 hours to eat some.
Yeah, for ages. My dad's here tonight. I probably shouldn't say that, when I was a kid, my parents surprised us by taking us to Alton Towers. They didn't tell us it was going to happen. And I was 9 years old, and they woke us up, and they were like, hey, we're going to go somewhere for the day. And they were telling us, like, we're going to go to a deer park. It was a little trick. And then we got to Alton Towers, and it was the best day. It was so much fun. And I was in the queue for Nemesis with my dad, and I was really excited. And I looked up at him and went, Dad, this has been the best day of my whole life. And he went, you're nine.
Absolutely quality.
Did it get any better?
Yeah, no, that's still the best day of my whole life. So it's valid now.
Honestly, there was a genuinely heartwarming moment backstage where I looked up in the green room and James and his dad were sat next to each other, both eating pastries in exactly the same way.
Rotating them like that. I love you, Dad.
Can I ask Mr. River Cafe something?
Yeah.
Do you know why it's called the chocolate nemesis? Why is it called the nemesis?
Now he's going to answer the question that I asked. He's going to answer that one. Why is it called the chocolate nemesis, mate?
I don't know. It's been around for about 20
That is more information than we expected. No. Outdid yourself there.
30 years, you don't... Well, I guess we'll never know it's been around so long.
Yeah.
There's no one alive.
And then, after I've woofed the chocolate nemesis cake and some ice cream,
yes,
then the cheese board.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're having the amaretto.
About 15 minutes. Take us through cheese by cheese, bite by bite.
You don't have to do that. After the... after the chocolate nemesis cake, is it chocolate nemesis cake, then amaretto, then the cheese board?
Amaretto at the end end.
At the very end end. Okay, fair enough. And the cheese board, I guess, you're just getting that for a joke?
What sort of cheeses do you want, Edgar?
I would like more hard cheeses than soft cheeses.
Lovely.
But that's okay. And it's got to have the little quince cubes or whatever they're called. Quince, right?
Quince cubes, yeah.
Quince jelly cubes. Oh, you got to have those.
Absolutely. Oh, man. What sort of hard cheeses would you like?
Whatever's nice to say.
Oh, fuck you.
I'll tell you what's nice to say. More ice cream. I'm not driving. I'll let you have the cheese board. Maybe, like, you know, you can have that by the hearth. Is that all right? I like to move people to the fireplace.
Oh, yeah, get off the table.
Yeah.
Did you say hearth?
Hearth. Is that not the...
A lot of people in here were like, oh, I think we're going to leave that alone, are we? No.
I've said hearth all my life.
Yeah.
And no one's corrected me on it, so this is a very bad moment to discover wrong.
It's hearth, yeah, it's hearth.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I've just got to accept this like a champ. Everyone saw in my eyes when I said hearth that it wasn't me just getting it wrong, you know, as a one-off. They were like, yeah, he's believed that his whole life. So there's no point me trying to sell it any different now.
But how often does it come up, really?
Not very often. Only when I tell people, take that cheese board over to the hearth where it belongs. Still sounds right to me.
But when they say, do you want to retire to the hearth?
Yeah. Like, no, that's the thing, I think.
They're
no
essentially one's ever... saying, like, we want this table back. So
yeah,
if they don't have a hearth, you're going to end up eating the cheese board on the
street. It sounds like they're saying, do you want to go over to the hearth? And they've got a lisp.
Well, that's where someone should go if they're ordering a cheese board, quite frankly. Yeah. Straight cheese into the hearth.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
I'll be in the hearth. Please follow on.
Sir, you've eaten the chocolate nemesis cake and a bowl of ice cream and the whole cheese board. Would you like to go to the hospital?
Well, I think this is fine. I think that's quite a good menu. Actually, I'm going to read the menu back to you now, see how you feel about it. Now, normally Benito would write this down, and I would read it out, but...
He will 100% not come out, by the way.
Yeah, he's not going to come out. Listen. Yeah, yeah.
I want to see Benito.
Yeah, fair enough. That will have put him off even more. There's no way. No way he will. So I'll try and remember it by memory.
Tricky. Remember it by memory. It's one of the classic ways.
Huh? Here we go. Edgar Wright, you would like still water to start. Nothing in it, as part from ice cubes.
No sparkling water ice cubes.
No sparkling water ice cubes, just the normal ice cubes in it. You want bread, and you want that bread with plenty of aioli. Spanish bread. Yeah. Spanish bread. You would like, for your starter, you want the calamari from Basaba. Your main, you would like fish and chips from Fish and Chips in Cornwall. With a side of the sweet corn from Little Dom's. Your drink, you would like... Don't help me out. I'm going to get this. You would like a martini, gin martini with a lemon twist. Oh, later on, at the end of the meal, you would like an amaretto with ice. For your dessert, you would like a chocolate nemesis cake with ice cream, and then retire to the hearth for a cheese board, which I will allow.
Great menu.
That really sounds like a good
menu.
Dinner.
Really good menu. And then it's home for a curry. Edgar Wright, thank you so much for coming to the Dream
Thank Rush. You, Edgar Wright,
thank
everyone.
Thanks for having me.
Give it up for Edgar. And thank you so much to all of you for coming. It's been fucking brilliant. You've been amazing. We'll probably go now, will we?
Yeah, let's go. Thanks, everyone.
Cheers, everyone.
You're great. Bye.
Thank you.
Well, there we are, James. The second in a run of two of Off Menu Live.
That is how it's done.
What a great show that was. Thank you so much to Edgar for coming down and doing that. Edgar's new film, The Sparks Brothers, about the band Sparks, it's absolutely fantastic. I loved it to bits. That you can go and watch that at the cinema, James.
You can go and watch it at the cinema. It'd be a wonderful experience. Yeah, we both loved that film. And visually, it's a treat as well. So go and see it on the big screen.
Yes, do. He has another film coming out soon called One Night in Soho. I'm not quite sure when that one's out, but do keep an eye out for it. I'm very excited from the trailers. I'm buzzing for that one.
Looks a bit scary.
Right up my street. He obviously did not say salad cream or
he did say Grubhub though.
Or salad cream. He did say Grubhub, which is an American thing.
Yeah. He wanted us to point that out.
He wanted us to point that out, that he made a mistake. Grubhub is an American thing and we've never had Grubhub here. No. I don't think people thought badly of him for that, James.
No one would think badly of you for that, Edgar. Come on.
Don't worry about that, man. So I'm sure we'll do live ones again at some point in the future, James.
Oh, absolutely. We had a wonderful time at both those gigs. Thanks to everyone who turned up.
The Great Benito will present another live show forthwith. Yes. Come and see my tour. I'm doing a solo tour. If you enjoyed Off Menu Live, imagine that, but with just me.
Yeah,
And also it's not really about food. Actually, there is quite a long bit about food. Come and see The Great Benito Presents Ed Gamble Electric on tour in 2022. edgamble.co.uk for tickets. Thank you.
Yes. Also, The Great Benito Presents Me at Home. Wishing Ed all the best of luck.
Thank you very much to The Great Benito and also to James.
Goodbye.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.